Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
You're juggling work, life, and imploding bullpens. We get it. And we got you. New York Sports. No filter. The Fan. 1019 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Poison. All right, McMonagle here with you on The Fan 303. On this Wednesday morning, 888-808-1019, obviously talking Knicks. There were some baseball games last night. The New York Yankees, obviously, late night, West Coast, if you were up, saw a disappointing loss. 0-14 with runners in scoring position. It's one of those games that you question this offense, right? I mean, let's be honest. The offense has been the best in baseball. For some reason, a lot of Yankee fans don't want to admit that. Look at how many runs they've scored over the last couple of games. They have scored more runs than anybody else in baseball. This offense has really been dynamic. Look at how many players have been uber successful. But yet, I mean, there are still games where they give you these type of performances. Last night against Wu, who's been one of the better pitchers in the American League for the Seattle Mariners, who are down a couple. They're still down Kirby, who's on the IL. They're still down their other young starter, Gilbert, who's, you know, really talented, and he's been on the IL as well. But Wu is one of their best. He shut down the Yankees in this game. Max Fried, probably his worst start since maybe the first start of the year when he was still finding his footing. You know, the last six or seven have just been utterly brilliant. And last night, still without having his best stuff, finds a way to give you five innings, only gives up the one run and keeps you in the ballgame. The Yankees are able to, luckily, in one hell of a rally in the ninth. I mean, you want to talk about rallies in the ninth. Goldschmidt gets hit by a pitch, steals second base. They pinch hit for Reyes. Reyes moves over on a little nubber to third, and then a check swing, you know, ground ball to first base and a throwing error by the first baseman leads to a game-tying run. And then in extra innings again, just the inability, some terrible at-bats. Bellinger takes a 2-0 fastball right down the middle. Wells with a tough pop-up. And ultimately, the Yankees, as dynamic as this offense has been, they have really struggled in the extra innings. And they've struggled. They've had games where they struggle with runners in scoring position. 0-14 last night. And again, they have played three road extra inning games. They are now 1-4 in extra innings and lost all three on the road. And in those three extra inning games on the road, they have had five innings with the runner on second base and they haven't scored a run. That is hard to do. That is really bad. Now, thankfully, for people who want to talk about how that proves that they can't be successful in the postseason, that's not a scenario that they will face in the postseason. But obviously, clutch at bats will be, and situational hitting is will be, and we have a lot of concerns about the Yankee situational hitting. To me, this was just bad at bats in key times. It wasn't, you know, you got to hit a sacrifice fly. You got to be able to, you know, they moved the runner over and weren't able to get him in. Wells had a really bad at bat trying to jump a fastball, swung at a slider, and then took a, you know, got jammed on another pitch. Just some really bad at bats. And despite this offense's prowess and despite so many guys up and down the lineup, even, you know, Volpe, like we have so much talks about Volpe, myself included. I talk about my concerns about Anthony Volpe offensively. He's starting to be, you know, the last 2 weeks he's been much better. He's top 10 in almost every offensive statistic offensively for shortstops in baseball. Believe it or not, Anthony Volpe, and we have our issues with him, and he's not Gunnar Henderson, and he's certainly not Bobby Witt Jr., and he's not some of those guys that he was kind of that level of prospect. He was the sixth baseball prospect in America when he made the Yankees. He made it all the way up to a sixth best prospect in all of baseball before becoming the Yankee shortstop. He has not shown that level, but right now, offensively, Anthony Volpe is a top 10 shortstop in Major League Baseball. And we know what he is defensively. He's made some key errors. He hasn't been as good defensively the last few weeks, but we know he's really good defensively. And offensively, he's been a top 10 offensive shortstop. And you look at what Goldschmidt is doing. You look at what, obviously, Judge. I mean, we could talk about Judge exclusively every day. But you look at what Grisham is doing. You look at what, like, up and down this lineup, you are talking about really good offensive players and having really good offensive years. But in those moments, situationally, in clutch moments, other than the last couple games against the Padres, now again, it's early in the season, it's May, but they have struggled with runners in scoring position. They just have, and last night was a key example of it, a game they had an opportunity to win, really build momentum. Now they have Warren on the mound tomorrow for an opportunity to try and win this road trip. But if not, that's a disappointing road trip out west. If you take two from Oakland or the A's, and then you have a game in hand against Seattle, and then a game last night's tie 1-1 in extra innings, you can't get a run in. There are some positives. Freed, and then Devin Williams. Another big-time performance from Devin Williams, who comes in extra innings, and he is able to get out of the inning without giving up runs. And that's two now. And I'm not trying to say Devin Williams is fixed. I'm not trying to say that all the issues are behind him, but these are two really back-to-back big-time performances in extra innings, and he won the game against the Padres, getting out of that jam, and then it led to runs in the next inning. The Yankees, unfortunately, weren't able to give him the win in this game, but Devin Williams threw the ball really well. They have bunt runner over to third, and he got the big pop-up, and then he got a ground ball. Devin Williams is going to be a huge part of this team, as the bullpen has really faltered. Despite having some really good numbers from a lot of guys, there's always been that one inning where a guy will blow the game. Even Leiter, who's had a really good year, will blow a game, and did against Arizona earlier in the year. Or Cruz recently against Oakland, against the A's. He's had a tremendous year, was great again today. He cost them a game against the A's. There's always been that one guy in the bullpen who's found a way to just blow a game. They need Devin Williams at the back end of this game. Devin Williams and Weaver, again last night in extra innings, were great. Weaver pitches two innings in this game. Weaver and Williams are going to be as important a dynamic on this team as anything else. We saw our first DJ LeMahieu sighting as he came up and gave you a hideous at-bat, but I'm going to give him a break. I know nobody wants to, and he's not going to get many from me, but his first at-bat since September 1st of last year is in a tough spot, a clutch spot, and he swings through a couple breaking balls and an ugly at-bat, and they had a bunch of ugly at-bats. But this Yankee team getting ready for the Subway Series, it's hard to get on the offense on one bad night when they have been absolutely killing it. They have the best. They have as many guys as anybody else in baseball with an above average OPS and above average OPS plus, and they lead the American League and all of baseball rather in runs scored. So an ugly night for the offense, but still the pitching was good. The bullpen was excellent, and ultimately you got to come up with a couple of clutch hits. And it's a frustrating loss, but they move on. Hopefully get another series win tomorrow, an afternoon game at 4 o'clock, and you get ready for the Mets on Friday. And the Mets, again, Kodai Senga and this pitching staff, what can you say? Every game. Now, Kodai Senga has an ERA of what, 1.2 now? He has been lights out, and what you'll love about him in this game last night, I know it's the Pittsburgh Pirates, right? I understand that. And they are an embarrassing organization. Them and the Colorado Rockies deserve to be, you know, wiped out of baseball. But even against the Pirates, he's got a situation where, I mean, he was hurt by his defense. Vientos, who's starting to come together offensively, hits a home run the other day. Has a hit, or did he have two hits in this game or just the one? I know he had at least one hit in this game. Like, his swing is coming around, but defensively, he has taken a little bit of a step back or just is going through a little bit of a tough stretch here. He has a ball off of him earlier in the game that could have been a play that he makes, and then later in the game that leads to Senga having to come out of the game and gives up the only run they give up when Reed Garrett, who's kind of a little bit shaky over his last couple performances after an incredible start, again, much like last year, walks in a run in this game to tie it at one. But a ball goes right through Vientos' glove. And we were talking about it earlier. Ron Darling is furious at that play. I mean, that is your responsibility as a Major League Baseball player to make sure you're... I mean, it didn't break. It would be one thing if it just completely broke the glove and maybe you couldn't see that coming. Like, he's got a style of glove where it's like the one strip down the middle of his pocket and leaving two pretty big size holes on both sides of that strip in the pocket, and the ball went right through his glove. Like, it's your responsibility to make sure that glove is tight, and that can't happen. But again, this pitching staff, I know that's a side note that people are going to get hung up on, but that the pitching staff of the New York Mets is so dominant. It's crazy. And Kodai Senga right now is the best of the bunch. As great as Clay Holmes has been, and he's been phenomenal, and is surprising. I mean, I guess Kodai Senga is the least surprising one because of his track record from 2 years ago. I know he didn't pitch at all last year, but 2 years ago with the Mets, he was a very good starting pitcher. He was their number two. And he was really, really good last year, obviously injured. So this is the least surprising, although he's the best. But the surprise is Griffin Canning. But you take Griffin Canning, you take, obviously, Clay Holmes, you take the dominance that Kodai Senga has given you. And in this game, I mean, when he decides he wants a strikeout, he goes to that forkball pitch, you can't hit it. And again, I know it's the Pittsburgh Pirates, but I don't care who it is. They got first and third, nobody out, and he just mows through the order. He gets three straight strikeouts to get him out of the jam. And that's the other thing about this team too. Griffin Canning's been like that too. Even Clay Holmes has been like that. They get into jams, they work their way out of them. They have made big time pitches at every turn. The rotation's great, and then you get into the offense last night, who, again, is struggling. The offense doesn't score a lot of runs. They score on a Nimmo. You get Soto's hit in the first inning, then you get Nimmo who drives him in. Then that's it for a long stretch in this game. And Keller's a decent pitcher. He's, you know, they faced the two best pitchers from Pittsburgh in this series, obviously, in game number one. And then Keller, you know, can throw the ball fairly well for Pittsburgh. Those two are the real bright spots on a team that doesn't have much, even their better players. You know, Reynolds is having a dreadful season. But they pitch him well. The Mets can't score any runs, but Beatty gives you the home run, and Beatty is coming along. And I really think that Beatty can be a factor. I'm very fascinated to see how they handle Beatty right now, because he shows power that legitimate MLB power hitters have. Like, he doesn't just have, ooh, look, there's a little pop in there. Like, those are home runs. And we know every time they send him down to the minors, he hits four home runs before he gets off the plane. So what he's capable of there is easy. I mean, but here at the major league level, to just have a nice, easy opposite field swing on a high fastball and just hit it out to left, that's an impressive swing. And Beatty really has an opportunity to be someone in the middle of the lineup. And you know what? The more I talk around it and I tell you, well, the safer thing is Acuna, and he's been great for them, and no doubt he has. And it doesn't have to be Acuna versus him necessarily, but the Mets might need someone in the middle of the lineup to be dynamic right now, because they really are lacking. Let's be honest. As much as Pete Alonso's had a great year and Lindor is the leader of the team, the crowd feeds off the energy he provides, the walk-up song he provides, a little bit of Motown, which has now become, you know, their latest thing that the Met fans rally around. And, like, he's been great at the start of games. Typical Lindor. He's been unbelievable. And Soto, while still having a very nice season, has not been nearly what you expected from Juan Soto. But besides that, I mean, Vientos has been hit or miss. Nimmo, while not having his typical OPS and not having his on-base percentage, does profile right now as someone on pace for about 30 and 100. And despite all of that, they still struggle to score runs. And they struggle with runners in scoring position, and including Juan Soto. So, I mean, if you're going to have someone in the middle of the order, another left-handed bat who can provide what Beatty can provide if he looks like this, like it's a, and he's been great defensively. He's far better defensively at third than Vientos is, and he's shown the ability to play second base. I think Beatty is finally, I mean, I wanted him to be the guy for the start of the season. I was high on Beatty. I wanted him to get most of the reps starting. And he failed at the beginning of the year. But now we're seeing that what he's capable of, and what he's capable of is someone with easy power to the opposite field and someone who can be a dynamic force in the middle of the lineup. And as great as Acuna's been and as clutch as he's been, I don't know if he's that. So we'll see. But both teams are getting ready for Friday, and it's going to be a big series. We're so hyped up with the Knicks. I have 2 5-hour shows coming up. We're going to get to plenty of Subway Series, as this is probably, as the Yankees head in, hopefully, off a third consecutive series win against really good caliber teams, right? The Padres are as good as anyone. I just saw Tatis hit a walk-off home run last night, and they were pounding the Colorado Rockies. They're coming off a series win against the Padres. The A's, who aren't, you know, world beaters, but are over 500 and having a nice little season. And Seattle, despite having a little three-game losing streak, is right at the top of the division in the West. So if they can come off those three wins, three series with a win and a winning West Coast trip leading into the Mets Friday night, throwing the three best starters at the Mets, theoretically they can. They can go, we'll see what they do, but they can go. It would work every fifth day. Rodon, Clark Schmidt, Max Fried in that series against the Mets, who are obviously playing well, coming off already a series win against Pittsburgh, looking for a sweep later today. This is as exciting and as amped up we're going to be for a Subway Series. You could argue this is the biggest Subway Series since the World Series, considering Juan Soto coming back to Yankee Stadium, the level of play for the Mets, the dynamic shift that's happened inside the fan base, how much the Met fan believes in the manager, believes in the owner, believes in the general manager. Like, the excitement around this team heading into Yankee Stadium to show the Yankees that they are the best team in New York. And that's not even something that the players have shied away from. Nimmo didn't shy away from it. Like, they want to be the best team in New York. They believe they're the best team in New York. They are playing like the best team in New York. So this series at Yankee Stadium is going to be as big a Subway Series as we've had in forever. So I'm looking forward to this weekend. Hopefully, I might be there Friday night, because the New York Knicks will polish off this series in 5 in Boston tonight.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews all on the app. Download today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch all the play-by-play with Susan Waldman and Dave Sims on the home of Yankees radio, The Fan.
All right, McMonagle here with you, 3:26 on The Fan. Another hour and a half till the warm-up show at 5 a.m. on this day. Game day. Game number five in Boston. I guess the afternoon show is going to be down there. Oh, those were the days. I went to Boston once with Evan. It was not fun. It was not a fun time. We're driving in the car. I found out we had a little bit of a COVID scare. I find out, like, as we pull up there, that I got a little bit of COVID scare in the family. That wasn't fun. I spent the entire day driving around in Evan's car trying to get tested for COVID. I did, and I was negative. But there was that. Then there was the game as we went to Fenway and watched the Yankees lose the wild card game and watch Gerrit Cole get lit up in the first couple innings and the Yankees do absolutely nothing except, of course, Giancarlo Stanton, who hopefully will come back and really create a logjam that right now is a major talking point about the New York Yankees. Like, there's a, like, right now, every time someone sits, it's like clockwork. And, you know, you can't get too focused on it. But, like, every time someone sits, someone's not happy. Like, last night, Rice isn't in the lineup. Rice hits a grand slam the other day. Rice isn't in the lineup. Oh, the big one is obviously Dominguez. Dominguez is in the lineup. Dominguez has that series, three-run homer game, has a great series. He's not in the lineup first game against Seattle. And then they go on and score 10 runs. But, like, right now, you have Rice, you have Bellinger, who had a hit in this game, has been doing much better, but had a couple and one really terrible at bat in extra innings, taking a fastball right down the middle 2-0. I don't know what the hell he was looking at. But you've got Bellinger, you've got Rice, you've got Goldschmidt, you've got Judge, you've got Grisham, you've got Dominguez. Who should sit? Who should sit regularly? Right now, they're working a rotation. And their Goldie's hitting 350, 360, second behind Judge in batting average in the American League. And Grisham, look what Grisham's doing. Plus, he's a great defender. So right now, the youth and the defense is leading to have Dominguez and Rice be the ones who kind of get more off. They're still in a rotation, and they're getting plenty of time to play. But they're probably going to have a little bit more off days than the others because Grisham's literally Babe Ruth right now, and he's an excellent defensive center fielder. That's the difference, is the defense. Ben Rice is not nearly as good as Goldschmidt at first, and Dominguez is not nearly as good as Bellinger or Grisham in the outfield. And as we saw last night, and this is going to be a talking point, I saw actually JJ, who congratulations to JJ on being a father. I sent him a thing on Twitter, but say it formally. Congratulations on John becoming a dad for the first time. Your life will change, buddy. Enjoy it. So congratulations to him. But I saw him tweet something, and I heard the Talking Yankees guys talking about it too. And there's been some talk with Oswaldo Cabrera, oddly enough, who has a broken ankle, is on the IL, made it easy to bring up DJ LeMahieu, and you know, our best to Oswaldo Cabrera, who's going through it right now, but hopefully he'll be back, and hopefully it's not as bad as we thought. Just a broken ankle, we'll see. But like, they didn't have to have emergency surgery the way Tatum had surgery already. Like, as far as we heard yesterday, Cabrera hasn't had surgery yet, so we'll see. But like, Dominguez, and this was a conversation around Oswaldo Cabrera because he's such a bad right-handed hitter. I got to tell you, as much as I love Jason Dominguez and what we saw, and yeah, even right-handed, he hit the home run on a big, you know, hanging curveball against the A's. He is a different hitter. You look up the numbers. I mean, he's atrocious as a right-handed hitter right now. And I know he needs at-bats, and it's a fine line. You want to give him at-bats as a right-handed hitter, sure, but you also want to win games and have your best offense out there. And he's not that good defensively right now. He hasn't killed them. He hasn't been awful. But how many balls land in front of Jason Dominguez? Like, honestly, he's afraid to attack low-line drives. He's afraid to attack balls coming in. He is paranoid and terrified of a ball getting past him. He wants to make sure he doesn't have that moment. And I get it. But it hurts the team. So I love him. I want him to play. He's got a 900 OPS hitting left-handed. But right-handed, he's awful. And there's going to start to be questions about just hit left-handed and scrap the switch hitting part. Now, the Yankees seem adamant against that. Aaron Boone's talking about he just needs at-bats that way. But I can tell you this. I don't know what he should do. I don't know if he should just hit left-handed against lefties, scrap the switch hitting, even if it's just for the rest of the season or whatever. I don't know. I don't know what the best idea is. But I'll tell you this, and maybe I'm crazy, and I'm not saying Boone should have done it. In fact, I think he's right in not doing it, but there was a spot in the game, I believe it was the seventh inning, and the Yankees had second and third after a double steal. I think it was Wells and Volpe had a double steal, and they had second and third with one out, a left-handed reliever on the mound, and Dominguez coming up. And I know this is going to sound crazy, I know it's going to sound crazy, but in the moment, I thought to myself, DJ's on the bench. Might not be a terrible time to pinch hit DJ. As much as I love Dominguez, and I wouldn't have done it, and I'm glad Boone didn't do it because I want to see Dominguez come through in those spots. I want to see him get those opportunities. But if this were a must-win game, like, it crossed my mind that I trust DJ LeMahieu to put the ball in play more than I trust Jason Dominguez, who is shown to be an awful against left-handed pitching. DJ can still hit. On some level, I trust him to put the ball in play. Like, right now, in that moment, and Dominguez ended up striking out, like, that's where we are. We're at the point where, in my mind, I was considering pinch hitting DJ LeMahieu. So that's a major talking point. They're in a weird shuffle. They've got a lot of guys who are hitting extremely well, but Dominguez is so bad right-handed right now. And it's unfair because, again, we just mentioned COVID. One of his years got cut short because of spring training. His entire season in the minor leagues got cut short because of COVID. He's had injuries the last couple of years. And plus, you know, just throughout baseball, you end up having about 75% of your at-bats left-handed if you're a switch hitter. So he just hasn't had a lot of right-handed at-bats at a high enough of a level for him to be comfortable there. So, like, I get it. Hopefully he can get better. Certainly I have faith in it, but over the long haul, but in the short term, like, he's a liability. At the end of these games, they bring in these left-handed bullpens. You know, Justin Shackle mentioned it. You know, they brought in the lefty specifically because Dominguez was hitting second in that inning, and they didn't want they want Dominguez hitting right-handed. So that's going to be a talking point for the New York Yankees, as it sounds like it is possible that Giancarlo Stanton is coming back at the end of this month. And if Giancarlo Stanton comes back, like, I don't know how they add someone of Stanton's level to this mix. Like, right now, and I know we say this, and knock on wood, because I don't want to hear anybody get, I don't want to see anybody get hurt, but we always talk about it, that it works itself out, like it did at the start of the year. What are we going to do with all these starting pitchers? Well, they answered that real quick. So, I don't know. Maybe it'll work itself out. But Stanton comes back and is thrown into a mix of Rice, and I mean, he can only play DH. So now you're talking about, you know, Rice, Dominguez, Goldschmidt, Grisham, days you want a DH Judge, Bellinger, like, they're all in the mix, and there's got to be some kind of rotation. And maybe to start, Stanton is strictly just DH against left-handed hitting and really ease him into it, but that's not enough playing time. And let's be fair, as much as we are frustrated with Giancarlo Stanton's inability to stay healthy, and nobody wants to see Ben Rice play less, and nobody wants to see this one play less, and nobody wants to see that one play less, and the youth movement and all that stuff, which I'm fully on board with, Giancarlo Stanton is a killer. And say what we want. Last year, offensively, he was having an above-average regular season as well. He is still a threat. He is still someone the Yankees need in this lineup, and especially against left-handed pitching, because they don't have a lot of good right-handed hitters. Peraza stinks. You know, the Martian right now, as we just talked about for 5 minutes, is not very good right-handed. Like, Reyes, DJ LeMahieu, these are the right-handed bats for this team. They're going to need Giancarlo Stanton. So when that happens, it is going to be very interesting to see how Aaron Boone manipulates this lineup, because they have a lot of guys. Like, last year we talked about, oh, they only have two good hitters. Now they have too many, which is, you know, obviously not a real statement. You can never have too many good hitters, but they've got too many to put in one lineup on a daily basis. So we'll see how the Yankees handle that. Should be interesting. 888-808-1019. Stuart in Brooklyn. What's up, Stu?
Yeah, the Martian should go left-handed strictly.
It's what a thought. It's a I mean, I was just talking about it. It's a thought. I'd hate to see him do it, because I do think switch hitting is such an advantage. And when I think of the great Yankee teams we grew up with, we had Bernie, we had Posada, that I grew up with.
I grew up with Mickey.
Yeah, you grew up with Mickey, but like, yeah, like Posada. Man. And then even on the even Nick Swisher on the World Series team, like, the switch hitters are valuable.
Yeah, they are.
And I do believe he can. It's not like he's had a ton of at bats and, hey, this is who he is. Like, I
think he's
developing the right handed side of his game, but at the same time, they have too many good hitters and they have too much, and he's just been too dynamic left handed. It would be one thing if he was just average left-handed and then below average right-handed. He's killing it left-handed. So, I mean, he's one of the more dangerous hitters in the lineup left-handed.
Yeah, so he is.
You gotta, I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to seeing him try it at least for a little bit, maybe a couple of at-bats, just to see how he feels about seeing lefties left-handed.
Well, I think he would be a little bit more comfortable than right-handed at this point, because his right-handed game is not developed, like you said. And you can't have it where he's in situations where he's that right-handed and he's practically a guaranteed out or a strikeout. You can't have it in clutch situations like that. And for you to say to bring up DJ LeMahieu, when was the last time he played? September 1st?
Correct.
And
Listen, I'm not saying I would have done it. I'm saying it crossed my mind. Crossed my mind to pinch hit DJ, because against left-handed pitching, I trust DJ to at least put the ball in play. I don't think he'll, I'm not saying he'll come through with a hit or, you know, change the game, but, like, I mean, he's won two batting titles. He's DJ LeMahieu. Like, I just, in that moment when all you need is a theoretically a ground ball or a fly ball, Like, I trust DJ LeMahieu to put it in play, but I'm glad he didn't do it. I want to see him get those opportunities, but
right.
It's so bad that it crossed my mind to pinch hit DJ LeMahieu.
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely. The thing is that they have to make contact, and they have to get the ground ball. So he's got to learn how to try and put the ball in play a little bit more frequently right-handed. Not, you know, like you said, he's developing his right-handed game. Getting to game five, they have to put the nail down tonight.
Listen, and thank you for the call, Stu. I agree with you. I think tonight, all the talk, I did the Saturday show this week before game three. And I'll be on this Sunday morning, so... a little bit on the weekends here. I'll be on Sunday morning, 8 a.m. This week. But I was on Saturday morning and afternoon before Game 3. And I was listening to Joe and Ian Begley and a lot of people, and you know, everyone on Friday, oh, this is a huge win. Don't let the Celtics off the mat and all that stuff. And I didn't agree. I didn't think it was this must-win. I thought the Knicks could adjust. And I'm not saying this is a must-win, and I'm not saying the Knicks can't handle Game 6 if they were to lose Game 5. But the element of don't let them off the mat, don't allow the Celtics to get their rhythm, don't allow the Celtics back into this series, that loud, yelling, you know, kind of formula that the fan was expressing before Game 3, I think is even more prevalent in Game 5 than it was in Game 3. Because I think they're a wounded team right now. And I think they have the opportunity to really go in there and just end this series tonight. And I really don't want to put any belief in this team that they can win this series. And then you just get nervous because the fourth game is the toughest to get. Like, and then now without Tatum, there's no pressure on the Celtics. I always thought there would be pressure on the Celtics. So for a bunch of different reasons, the idea of don't let the Celtics get a rhythm, don't let the Celtics back into the series, I think is an even stronger rallying cry and a stronger opinion for Game 5 than it was for Game 3.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. All on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Three.
Meetings, errands, screaming kids. all while scrolling box scores. We get it, and we got you. New York Sports, no filter. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 3:46. McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. So let's talk about Pete Rose for a second, as obviously the news broke earlier today. We'll get back to the calls in a minute, 888-808-1019, before we say hello at 4 o'clock. We got the news today. I think Jeff Passan was the one who broke it. Major League Baseball has reinstated Pete Rose, Shoeless Joe Jackson, and other deceased players from its permanently ineligible list. And they did it today. So now Pete Rose, Shoeless Joe, I believe the rest of the 1919 Black Sox are now available for the Hall of Fame vote. They're not in the Hall of Fame. They're eligible to be voted upon to be put into the Hall of Fame. And I've been saying this for a while, that I thought it, I hate this. I'll be honest with you, I hate it. It seems like an easy thing for a, it's an easy passing of the buck. It's an easy, I knew once he passed away, I was saying it, put him in now, because you know when he dies, they're going to put him in. Like, I know that's a common theme. A lot of people have said it. I've been saying it for a long time. Anyone ever had brought up Pete Rose, I'm like, what bothers me the most is I know when he passes away, they're going to put him in. And the idea that you couldn't do it while he's alive, knowing, I mean, it hasn't even been a year. Like, you knew they were going to put him in. And now, a couple things. One, let's start with the obvious things we all know. One, yes, gambling has become prevalent in sports. It is no longer the third rail of Major League Baseball, something you couldn't go near, something you couldn't touch, something, like, obviously they're promoting it. Fantasy baseball and fantasy sports started that. It's even more profound now with all these betting books and all the thing and the association they have with these leagues. So we understand gambling is now more associated with the sport than ever. And yes, that should impact on some level how Pete Rose is viewed in this. But let's make something else clear. The biggest reason Pete Rose is not in the Hall of Fame is Pete Rose. Like, he did this to himself. If he would have been open and honest about what he did and asked for forgiveness from the jump instead of denying it for years and trying to make baseball look bad and call them liars, he would have been in the Hall of Fame already. Plus, now, and this is something Hall of Fame voters are going to have to take into account, his personal behavior. We have seen it impact other people. We have seen it not impact other people, but obviously he was, I believe, he admitted to the fact that he had a relationship with a underage girl. Like, there have been other issues in his life. Whether you believe that should impact his Hall of Fame or not, that's up to the voters now. But Pete Rose did this to himself, right? We've had this conversation a lot. Pete Rose did it to himself. Now, some of the things I hear, like the idea that Manfred said that these people who passed away now show no more threat to the integrity of baseball, is just that I find so obnoxious and ridiculous. Like, putting Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame, right, or allowing the voters to vote for Pete Rose into the Hall of Fame would be a scourge on baseball that is now avoided by him not being here. I don't understand it at all. And it also feels like, to me, and I don't know if this is fair or not, but it feels like to me, let's put in Shoeless Joe and the other Black Sox and people who died 60, 70 years ago and haven't played baseball for 100 plus years. Let's lump them in so it's not as cut and dry of we waited till Pete died and now we're letting the writers vote for it. Let's just make it seem like we've come to a realization that a lot of the people who have been on this list who have passed away, that we're going to allow them to, like, who is around to have a legitimate thought or vote on Shoeless Joe Jackson? Like, it feels like let's lump it together so it doesn't feel like I'm bowing to pressure of Pete Rose should be eligible for the Hall of Fame, and now that he's gone, it makes sense. Like, let's just lump all these former players who are no longer with us who are on this list into action and allow the Hall of Fame. What Hall of Fame voter is voting on a player he saw who hasn't played since 1919? Like, are we serious? Like, it's just, it feels so contrived and stupid, and I hate it. Now, do I think he should be eligible to be voted for in the Hall of Fame? Absolutely. Absolutely. I've always felt that way. You can't tell the story of baseball, right? He's one of those guys. Barry Bonds should be in the Hall of Fame. Alex Rodriguez should be voted into the Hall of Fame. Roger Clemens should be in the Hall of Fame. There's no doubt. It's about what you did on the field. They didn't break any rules at the time. We could say whatever we want about whether or not it hit to the integrity of the sport. I don't care. Put an asterisk next to him. I don't care. If you are a great player, which Pete Rose obviously has more base hits than anybody who ever lived, he belongs in the Hall of Fame. But let's not make it seem like he's been a victim for all these years. He is not. Let's not make it seem that his conduct doesn't warrant discussion, which it does. And also, the other thing is, like, I understand that we've gotten close to betting on baseball, but the one thing that bothers me is people dismiss his betting on baseball under the guise of, well, he bet on his team to win. Like, that's okay. Like, that doesn't change things. Like, that doesn't, like, I can't tell you how many people go, well, it's not like he bet on his team to lose. No, he bet on his team to win, and who knows how he managed games that he put more importance on than it should, or how he used his bullpen, or how he set up his lineup, or if he played guys hurt because he had a bet on a game. Like, I don't know any of those things to be true, necessarily. I haven't bothered to, like, look into it and investigate it, but you can't tell me that a manager needing a game in May to win doesn't impact how he manages the game. So for whatever reason, that's just something I hear all the time that just drives me nuts. Well, he bet on his team to win. I don't care. You can't bet on the games that you're involved in. And I don't care how open we are now in this new world of gambling websites. And you could do it from your home and you can, you know, on your phone, pull up and bet pitch to pitch. I can bet if the next pitch is going to be a fastball or a breaking ball. I understand it. That doesn't change the fact that what he did was completely wrong. And moreover than that, he did this to himself. And now Major League Baseball, after he's passed away, and when they feel he can no longer hurt them, which I think is ridiculous, now they're taking him off the list. And just to make it feel like it's not all about Pete Rose, we'll lump in Shoeless Joe Jackson. Because that'll get clicks. That name, because of, you know, Field of Dreams and everything else, that name and the Black Sox scandal, like that has a staying power. People recognize that name. That will be part of the story. There'll be clicks just for people who watch the movie. There'll be an idea, oh, Shoeless Joe Jackson's back on. That will be a talking point to cover up the idea that it's not just about Pete Rose. Because if you think they suddenly had this novel idea that Shoeless Joe Jackson should be in the Hall of Fame after he's been banned for 100 years. Like, we all know why they're including everybody now, because they don't want to make it seem like, yeah, we waited for the poor bastard to die and now we're putting him in the Hall of Fame. So it is what it is. Ultimately, I think it's the right thing. The voters should have an opportunity to vote for Pete Rose to be in the Hall of Fame. He's got more hits than anyone alive. Plain and simple. But it feels, everything about this has felt dirty. I wasn't around when this scandal broke, but Pete Rose lying for all those years feels dirty. Pete Rose signing autographs outside the Hall of Fame without his name enshrined in it feels dirty. Waiting until he passes feels dirty, and lumping in Shoeless Joe Jackson to me feels dirty. It's all dirty.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate, whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family. Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.